The scripture for today comes from Luke 5, 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Mom and Dad had gone to bed that night. Not my mom and dad, but a mom and dad. And they suddenly heard a thump in the adjoining bedroom, and then they heard crying. And they ran in there, and their little boy had indeed fallen out of the bed and was crying. They picked him up and consoled him and dried some tears and that sort of thing. And after that, they were on the bed with him as he was starting to get over it a little bit. And his dad said, "Son, what happened? Why did you fall out of bed?" He said, "I guess I just went to sleep too close to where I got in." Now, that's not a problem only for children that are adjusting to big beds in their life, but it's also an issue for Christians, because from the very beginning, from the time that we get excited about being a follower of Christ, we also get tempted to stay just about at the place where we got in. And what Jesus calls us to do, of course, is to be disciples. And the definition of disciple, one of my favorite definitions of a disciple, anyway, is a follower of Jesus, whose life is centering in loving God and loving others. But all of those things go together. And the life that God intended for us is a life that only comes to us in discipleship. In our brokenness and in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a chance, really, to have the life that God calls us to have, but it is a life that is going to be a journey. Another way of talking about it is the very way that Luke talked about it. Luke liked to use the image of shallow and deep when he's talking about this calling of Jesus to some of his first disciples. It's a metaphor that we use in a lot of places in our life. One of the Emmy songs of the year is called Shallow, and it uses that very image of diving into the deep or staying in the shallow in our love life, in our relationship with those that we love and live with all of our life, in our families. Sometimes we talk about staying in the shallow in terms of our careers and our jobs and whether we settle for having things in a shallow way, or whether we're trying to go deeper. John Wesley, when he was talking about the discipleship life, the Christian life, always wanted to move us quickly from a time where we've had our conversion experience into the life of discipleship. Wesley believed that God is working in our life from the time that we come into this world. We don't have to worry when we're out there witnessing to somebody else whether or not God has already been working in our life. Our assumption is God has. God has always been working in every one of our lives to pull us toward Him and to the life He has for us. It's called prevenient grace. Justifying grace is that time when you do cross over from maybe having Jesus as a stranger in your life or an acquaintance in your life where your faith isn't really very significant. You may believe some, but it's not, a very important part of your life, to a time where you are becoming a real friend with Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus wants us to move on to be good friends with Him. And then He finally wants us to be intimate friends with Him, out of which that relationship brings us to a life where we are making God's love real in the world in the same way that Jesus did, and where our life is part of the transformation of this world. Now that's deep. That's really getting out into the deep waters and to the deep end of our faith. And Luke loved that image and remembered that when Jesus was calling His disciples, and especially in this relationship with Peter. Just as the story said, He was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, as we often refer to it, and as most of the time it's referred to in the Gospels. And the crowd was pressing in on Him because Jesus was already, even though it was very, very early in His ministry, was gaining a lot of notoriety, and He was drawing crowds who had heard about this man who could heal and teach and was so different to anyone others had seen. And seeing a couple of boats there, He jumped into one of them and made it His pulpit, and asked Peter to put out a little from the shore, and He sat there and taught the crowds, and Peter was there in the boat with Him, listening to Jesus as He taught the kinds of things that you hear in the Sermon on the Mount. And usually people were overwhelmed and had the kind of response that Matthew said they had after the Sermon on the Mount, when they were astonished at His teaching, because He did not teach like our scribes. And I'm sure that that's what Peter was experiencing, even as Jesus was teaching from Peter's boat. But after He got through teaching, He said to Peter, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets." And Peter, as you can tell by his hesitant response, was not very excited about listening to Jesus as a master, obeying that command of Jesus, although it really wasn't a command. It was more like a suggestion. I guess he could have resisted to the point of not going, but he did voice his opposition to the idea, because they had indeed, as Leah said, they had fished all night. And that's when you fish at night and really, really early in the morning. That's when the fish are running. They don't run in the middle of the day. And you fish in the more shallow waters, because that's where the nets have the best chance of catching the most fish. Anybody who is a part of a fishing industry, and of course Peter and James and John were a part of the Zebedee fishing industry there on the Sea of Galilee, they knew what they were doing. Jesus might be a good carpenter, and He might be even a great preacher who has people in the palm of His hands, but Peter knows that he knows nothing about fishing, or he wouldn't be even making, you know, this request. But he said, "Master, we fished all night and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And then you know what happened. They caught so many fish, the nets were breaking. They had to summon their partners, James and John. The boats were sinking, and it was a miracle. This is a fishing story to top all fishing stories. I have never heard a fishing story better than Luke's fishing story about Jesus. I mean, that's a great, great fishing story because it was a miracle. Now, I can't explain that miracle. I don't try to explain any of the miracles, really. I just try to ask myself, what is this story saying to me that I need to embrace that might make me a better disciple of Jesus Christ and might actually give me more of the life that I'm hungry for? And I think this story lends itself very well to doing that exact thing. Because when you realize that you may have been skimming the surface, living a little bit too long in the shallow waters of life, too long in the shallow waters of your faith and your relationship with God, and you realize that that's not enough, maybe it's time that you just surface the question, do I need to, at this point in my life, push out further into the deep? Do I need to go out into some deep waters? One of the signs that you might have when you're wanting to ask that question might be, is your life a bit of a disappointment at this point? You know, most of us, when we start out on the Christian journey, are very, very excited about our Christian life, what God has done for us, the grace of God that we've accepted by faith, the love of God that really we're being told is given to us in the very way that it was given to us in Jesus Christ, and it's exciting. And then after a while, maybe some things in life just happen to you. You lose a job. Maybe you lose a marriage. Maybe your marriage breaks up. Maybe you lose someone that you love very much. Maybe there's an illness or a pain. Maybe it lingers. And at a time when you thought that, you know, there was nothing that God couldn't do and there's no way that God would ever fail, because that's the way you felt like when you first started following Jesus Christ and first entered into this faith, that now maybe God doesn't seem so mighty or maybe caring. And then it leads you to a place where in your disappointment, you start not to care so much. Maybe you become like that apathetic owl who just doesn't give a hoot anymore. Or maybe even in your church life, maybe your church didn't add up the way that you wanted your church to do. Maybe there's some things, maybe there's some people that have disappointed you. Maybe there's some church politics that have taken place that have just left a bad taste in your mouth, and it's something that you don't want to be a part of anymore, and you're struggling whether you're going to have the courage to stay in there with it or whether you're just going to give up. By the way, everybody who's sitting in the nave, which is another word for the ship, by the way, a ship on the sea, are probably those who have decided not to give up, but to hang in there. But sometimes it is a challenge, isn't it? When you become a little disappointed with the way your church is acting or a way that the larger church is acting, and you realize, you know, we can kind of get stuck. We can get stuck in the shallow places all over the place. We really need somebody who can call us out into the deep waters and remind us of what our faith is really all about. Whenever that happens, maybe the desire is rekindled. You know, Jesus said, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I think that that's what we do. We talk about this hunger that we have for life. Most of us have a deep hunger to go deeper in our relationship with God. And I think God promises us that when we have that hunger, He will take us there. He will meet that. One of the ways that when we're in the shallow waters asking to go deeper in our relationship with God, one of the ways that we might address that is the way that it was addressed in this incident with Jesus and Peter. He had gone out into the deep. They had cast the net. They had had this. But when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Oh, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinner. Depart from me." I don't know what it is that made Peter say that, but I know that whenever I am in the presence and whenever I see a really clear picture of what Jesus is like, and I just think of that call that we're always under to be more like Jesus. One of our whole purposes in this church is to live in such a way that our life looks more like Jesus, that we are more like Jesus in everything that we do. And sometimes when we look at ourselves and we really see Jesus there, we want to say the same thing. Depart from me. I have no business being in your presence. I'm nothing like you. And I know it. And there's nothing like a good confession when it comes to something like that. I know when I become aware of how far I'm falling short, sometimes I call it a confession, but quickly it turns into something more like an explanation, where I want to explain and defend and justify what I've thought and what I've said and what I've done. So it just doesn't look quite so bad. And one of the things that I like to do is compare myself with a lot of others. I'll pick out some of you who I don't think is doing as good as me, and I'll say, you know, at least I didn't do, you know, what she did, or at least I didn't do what he did, and start comparing myself and rationalizing, which is one of the things that I find human beings are very gifted at. We can rationalize almost anything that we have done, are doing, or want to do, and make perfect sense out of it, when sometimes we just need to admit and confess that our life is not contributing to the life that God is wanting for His people, His church, His world. And just confess, be honest as Peter was, be humble as Peter was, and at least be open to hearing what Peter heard. Because when you find yourself in a place where you need to confess, your life's not adding up to what God wanted it to, you are admitting you need help, that you're not able to do this very well on your own, and you need the help of God. And the way the help of God comes to us, as Jesus came to Peter and the disciples, and really to everyone that he saw in those 3 years of his ministry, is to let Jesus come to us as the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit working in us can make us more like Jesus and move us into the deep waters. And the way that we do that really is to look at the gifts that have been given to us. I call them gifts because they're disciplines that when we pay a little attention to them will move us from the shallow to the deep, like prayer. I mean, if you want to ask yourself, am I in the shallow waters here or am I in the deep, just look at your prayer life. Is it daily? Is it transformative in your life? Does it make a difference? And when you come out of your daily prayer, does it establish you for the rest of your day to go out and to be a servant and to be someone who looks like Jesus Christ? Or is prayer just something you do whenever you feel like it, an occasional thing, and maybe you've gone days, maybe weeks, some, you could even say, maybe months, even without praying? And when it was more of a formal prayer, not something that was bringing you into an intimate conversation with God. Are you in the shallow waters? Or are you in the deep? And the good news is there's a lot of territory between the shallow and the deep, and all that Jesus is asking is that we're moving in the right direction. What about your Bible study? Do you do it only on Sundays? Is it something that you do daily? Do you have a system of drawing closer to the story that is there and having asking yourself what that story is doing to make a difference in your story in this life? You can be in the shallow or the deep in your relationship to God's Word. You can be in the shallow and the deep in your relationship to your giving. You can be in the shallow and the deep and anywhere in between in relationship to your witnessing. How has God helped you to come to a place where you can articulate what it is that you know about Jesus Christ and share that with someone else? Are you in the shallow or the deep? Or where are you in your witnessing? In your small group? Is it a place where you are drawing strength from others in order to become more Christ-like? Or is it a place where you keep a good bit of distance from yourself and the Scriptures? Or is there any accountability there? Are you drawing closer to Christ as a result of being in your Sunday school class and your small group? What about worship? Is it something where you are experiencing a transformation in your life where you're drawing closer to God as you worship God and take communion and do these things? Or do you find yourself saying, you know, I'm just going through the motions here. I'm just kind of walking in, walking out, and I'm not sure that, you know, it's a bit rote for me. I think I might need to go a little deeper here. And by going deeper in worship, you go so much deeper in your relationship to God. And what about service and your mission? Are you in a shallow place there, or are you constantly thinking about how you can actually share the love of God in some way, because it's everywhere in service to Jesus Christ? Thank God it's not either or. But God is very concerned in what direction we're moving. Are we moving toward the shallow as we go along, or are we moving toward the deep? Because it makes a great deal of difference, both in your life personally and in this world that God loves. And you might discover from all of that you want to do a little bit of what Peter and James and John did. Because it says at the end of this story that once they brought their boats in, they left them immediately. And they followed Jesus. They just left them. That's something that is also a one-time thing. When you leave Jesus, your job, your career as it is, and say that you want to go deeper and have Jesus as an intricate part of every part of your life, then you're just saying, I'm ready to follow. I'm ready to follow. And that's what they did. For 3 years, they were always there. And that's why we have this story, because they did remember, and they did see the difference that makes. Friday, I was in my reunion group. We have an Emmaus reunion group of men that meet on Friday morning, and there was a missionary there from Costa Rica. He's out of Asbury United Methodist Church, and they had one of those global mission I forgot the actual name of it there, but about 12 years ago, and he had three children, around 12 or so, and they took off to Costa Rica and started learning the language, and the children grew up there, and children about to graduate from college now. But I so appreciated just listening to him, passion that he had to do something that he had never really thought about doing, but at a later time in his life, he stepped out and said, well, I believe that that's what God's calling me to do. But one of the things that he said to us, he said, I just want you all to hear how much I appreciate and know what you do for Christ, where you are. Do you think about that? Are you aware that you have answered a call when you think about what you are doing for Christ, where you are? I heard a lady say one time that she wondered, as she was working in a day school, and she wondered if there wasn't supposed to be more to my life than babysitting. And she said, you know, one day a father came in and he said, I just want to thank you. Casey wants to pray. And we haven't been praying in our home. We haven't been praying before meals. But she comes home every night and wants to pray. And she prays before our meals. And we've gotten used to it. And I just want you to know we're looking more closely at this church, because somewhere we're going to get into a church because Casey is insisting on it. A preschooler. And she realizes, you know what God does with me, where I am with what I have, must be very important in this world. Howard Hendricks, he was talking about being on a plane not so long ago when it was delayed, as some of you probably have been delayed for hours on a runway, and people were becoming so irritable and disgusted and running out of patience. But he saw among all of the flight attendants one flight attendant there that was so patient with every single passenger. And she became just kind of a non-anxious presence. Every time that somebody was reacting, just by her response, she could bring some calm into that relationship. And he said, I just want you to know I noticed that. And he said, I'd like to write a letter of commendation to the airport or to the whatever it is you work for. And she said, I don't work for the airline. She said, I have a much higher boss than that. He said, oh, that's interesting. Well, do you mind telling me a little bit more about that? She said, well, let me just tell you this. My husband and I, we pray every morning. And this morning he prayed for me that I would be a good representative of Jesus Christ on the flight that I had today. And I think that you've just confirmed that maybe in some way his prayer for me was answered. What a gift it is to have a confirmation like that. And what a joy it is to know that Christ is growing us, is moving us from the shallow and saying, don't become comfortable there. Don't get used to that. Move on out here. I'll go with you. And we'll push on out into the deep waters. And you can see what God really had in mind for you. when he wanted to shape your life and grow your character and give you that world view that involved him at the center of it. So what's he calling you to do? If you were to go from where you are to the next place in faith, the next place in God's grace, the next place in discipleship, where would God be taking you right now? And would you have the courage to say, well, hadn't worked out so far too good, been fishing all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, those are powerful words, by the way. Lord, if you say so, then I will let down the nets out in the deep. We pray with him. Lord, we thank you that this trip that we're on is from the shallow to the deep, and we know that you're always headed toward the deep, and you're always pulling us in that direction. We want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to be deeply devoted to you, and we want our lives to show it. We want them to make a difference in this world and be a part of the changes that your presence can make in this world when you're living in your people. Live in our church, live in us, wherever we find ourselves. And let those prayers be answered on our behalf, that we would be every bit of the disciple that you call us to become. In Jesus' name, amen.